Thank you, sir, for just taking a few minutes with me to talk about COVID here in Missouri and beyond, really. I just kind of wanted to see one thing that I thought of is with Missouri's low vaccination rate, are there concerns among doctors and scientists that more breakthrough cases could occur and even some of those cases leading to serious illness?
We are seeing breakthrough infections in people who are vaccinated. We are also seeing a lot of infections in people who are not vaccinated. So this Delta strain, which is now the dominant strain in the United States, is much more infectious than the previous strains that were around. And as a consequence, when you have it widely circulating, as we do have in Missouri and in much of the country, particularly in those parts that have low vaccination rate, it's much easier for someone to come into contact with an infected person and become infected. And that includes people who are vaccinated. What I think we need to remember is that the major benefit of the vaccines is to prevent disease, not to prevent infection. They do have advantages in terms of making infection less likely, but more importantly, they're still very effective in preventing people from getting seriously ill, needing to be hospitalized, and dying. And what we're seeing right across the country now is that we're seeing breakthrough infections, but we're not seeing a large number of people who are vaccinated coming into the hospital or getting seriously ill and dying. So the vaccines still work the way they were supposed to work. The worry that we have, obviously, is that with so much virus circulating, is it possible that we would get another variant, but this time one that would get around the immune system? That's a theoretical worry. We haven't seen it yet. And it's quite possible that although the virus will continue to evolve, that may not happen to the same extent, because what the virus is most interested in doing is being very infectious. That is, you know, infecting as many people as possible. So the way it has mutated, the way it has changed itself, is to become more efficient at infecting humans. And as a consequence, we would be concerned about the possibility of a new variant, but we haven't yet seen that.
Okay, I heard Dr. Fauci say a more serious variant could come into the picture, mm-hmm. but that's a could at this point then.
Yeah, it's a theoretical concern, and it's one of the reasons why we, you know, from an infectious disease perspective, I've been involved in the viral infections for over 30 years. So I know viruses can evolve. And so it is certainly possible that this virus could evolve to avoid the immune system that comes from the vaccine. But so that's why we want to be cautious and not reassure people that the vaccines will be completely effective forever. But right now, the vaccines are very effective. They're doing exactly what we wanted them to do. They're protecting people from serious illness and death. And they continue to be very effective. We have seen no reduction in how good these vaccines are in terms of that protection.
Dr. Bill Powderly, a professor of medicine and the co-director of the Division of Infectious Diseases at Washington University in St. Louis, joins us on Show Me Today to give us the latest on the COVID situation in Missouri and beyond. And so just for our audience, you know, to be clear, if a vaccinated person ends up getting infected, they could still pass on that virus to other people, correct?
That is correct. And they may get some symptoms, and occasionally they may get sick enough that they have to come to the hospital and get oxygen for a day. But if we look at the people who are coming into our hospital, and we're seeing rising numbers coming in here in St. Louis, just like they saw in Springfield a few weeks ago, if we look at all of the people who are in our ICU, needing a ventilator or needing high-flow oxygen, If we look at all of the majority of people who are in with COVID pneumonia, they are unvaccinated. In terms of vaccinated people who need to come into hospital, the major risk is for people who have an underlying illness that affects their immune system. So that gets to the question that I think you were also going to ask me about, and that is, will there be people who will need a booster? And I think we haven't completely decided that yet. The evidence is being accumulated, but most of the thinking in among people who are involved in this is that we probably want a booster for older individuals over 65 and for people whose immune system isn't normal to start with.
Do you know when we might expect a booster shot, or like an emergency approval on that?
Well, I think what's happening right now is that there are a number of studies that have been done. There are a number of studies that are ongoing. The CDC and the FDA is reviewing the data from Pfizer for their booster data. And we're also sort of accumulating evidence as to who might be at risk. And as I said, if we start to look at our patient population, the people coming into the hospital, if you're vaccinated, your risk of being sick with COVID is really confined at the moment now to people who have an underlying illness that affects their immune system. So I can't say for certain, but all of the data that I've seen and the discussions that I've been involved in would suggest that we will probably go in the direction of a booster, and probably, you know, we'll have enough data to make a recommendation by the end of the month or by mid-September at the latest.
I've been seeing a lot of stories in the news recently about younger kids getting infected.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a good grasp on how prevalent the disease is among Missouri children at this point, and what you're seeing in terms of children getting very sick from the disease?
Yeah. So two things. We're seeing a steady number of children coming in. In terms of the proportion of children who are coming in relative to earlier in the epidemic, it hasn't really changed. But what you're seeing is that there's much more virus around. And when there's much more virus around and many more people are infected, then proportionally, children are at an increased risk of being exposed to the virus. And just because there are many, many more children who are not vaccinated, we're starting to see an increasing numbers. Now, the vulnerability is still older adults. But we are seeing children who are sick. We are seeing children who are sick enough to need ventilation. And unfortunately, you know, there have been a number of deaths in children. It isn't an overwhelming number. So most children, and I think it's important to reassure parents that in terms of this virus, most children do fine. But because we have many more children being infected, we see more children coming into the hospital. It's still a small percentage, very small percentage of the overall number of children who are infected with this virus. But just because there are more children being infected, you're seeing more cases. The reality, of course, is that while the majority of children are just fine, if you're the parents of one of those children who ends up in a ventilator in the hospital, it doesn't matter what's happening to the other 99% of kids. It's what's happening to your child that really counts. And I think this goes back to the fact that, you know, to protect the community, we need more people who are vaccinated in general.
This is Show Me Today. We are joined by Dr. Bill Powderly, a professor of medicine and the co-director of the Division of Infectious Diseases at Washington University in St. Louis. What about immunizations for kids under 12? Do you have any information on anything being done about that?
Well, there are studies ongoing. There are studies that have started. I don't think we're going to have enough data before the school starts to be able to make a recommendation. We'll probably be able to make a recommendation in the fall. We so far have not seen or heard anything that would say that the vaccines won't work in younger children. But as you know, the way we approach this scientifically is we start in adults, and if it's safe, we go into younger populations, and we've clearly established that the vaccines are effective and safe for children over 12, but the studies of children between 7 and 12 have been started. I have a number of colleagues who have enrolled their children, or whose children have been enrolled in those studies, but it's too early to say for certain when the vaccines will be approved for younger children. As you can imagine, it's a big issue with school reopenings coming up in the next few weeks.
Absolutely. I saw this great video the other day from LSU about the COVID vaccination. Did you happen to see that?
No, I don't think I have.
Okay. Well, it's great. If you go to LSU's Facebook page, it might even be on Twitter, I'm not sure, but a scientist talked about how important the vaccination is in stopping this spread, and then also the development of the drug. There have been some people who've refused to get vaccinated because they say the FDA has not fully approved the drug. And, you know, there have been many other reasons people have given as to why they haven't gotten the vaccination. In that LSU video, the scientist talked about how this vaccine has been in development for many, many years, not just all of a sudden during the midst of the pandemic. The vaccine was completed during the pandemic is what she had said. So my question is, what do you want the crowd to know who refuses to get vaccinated? And you've already kind of talked about some of it, but is there anything else you want to add?
What we're learning is that, you know, people who are currently not being vaccinated, there are multiple different viewpoints and perspectives. The group that I think where we can have the quickest success is actually the group you're describing. There are people that are hesitant because they're worried that this was done too quickly, that the vaccines aren't safe. And I think the important message there is exactly what you said, that the science behind these vaccines was in development for many years, and the pace and the speed was not a function of cutting corners, but a function of actually being incredibly efficient because the government did everything in parallel rather than sequentially. These vaccines have now been given to many millions of people worldwide, or probably over 100 million people have received the vaccines. They're remarkably safe. I think, and that many of the things that people have read on social media, like their effects on fertility, are just not true. And so rather than relying on what you might read on Facebook or hear from a friend, talk to someone you trust, a medical professional you trust, and get the facts.
Looking ahead to the colder months, are you thinking about flu season and the pandemic also, and how we were concerned about that last year? And really our flu season wasn't bad compared to previous years. But now that there's, you know, there are people walking out and about, no masks, is there a lot of concern about a twindemic like there was concern like last year?
So we're still concerned about the possibility of a twindemic. I think you're absolutely right. We dodged the bullet last year for two reasons. One is that because of the worries we had, a lot of people got the influenza vaccine more than normal. And secondly, people were masking and social distancing. And what I think we all recognized was that not only was that behavior protective against COVID, but it was also remarkably protective against other respiratory viruses, including influenza. So we have to keep that messaging going. We have to strongly encourage people to get the flu shot this year again. And we would hope that many people will recognize masks do protect you from having other respiratory viruses as well. And think about that when they go into crowded situations and indoors. When I go, say, grocery shopping, whether there's a mandate or not, I'm going to be wearing a mask. One of the things that has changed, and I hope will continue to change, is, you know, in other parts of the world, wearing masks wasn't a big deal, and it was done regularly. And we always thought that was pretty strange. For many of us now, that will become a normal behavior when you are in certain situations of high risk.
When we return, we'll continue our conversation. This is Show Me Today, the voice of Missouri. We'll take a short break and come back with more of our conversation on Show Me Today. We will have more after this. You are listening to Show Me Today.